This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome to Wrestle Culture. He was a fast machine, Big Bad Catastrophe. He was the best damn big man that I ever seen. Debut on Dynamite, huge pop on the night. Chucking Cassidy into the goddamn lights and you, Buckley all night long. Yeah, you, Buckley all night long.
I know this isn't a very visual medium, really, in this podcast form, but I really wish everyone listening could see the colour that you've gone right now.
You're really like, going to that?
Brock Lesnar and Shane McMahon just went 30 minutes.
I was like, this, I'm nailing this. I'm at a World War for What Culture.
Join my redness.
Phil Chambers and Andy, I've got a bit lightheaded, and Andy Murray from What Culture.
Just breathe, damn it,
all going on in wrestling this week. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT Dubai, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Phil and Andy and gents, Keith Lee is all elite. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Absolutely not. From the time he was made in WCPW, he is just absolutely lovely. We met him there, obviously. He's a lovely, lovely chap, and it's always nice when good things happen to nice people. And finally, he's in a goddamn company that's actually just going to let Keith Lee be Keith Lee, because when Keith Lee is Keith Lee, it's kind of cool, isn't it? It's really good.
It was a weird thing as well, because it was not just his WWE release. It was all the sort of talk around it, health scares and the like. He looks back to the old Keith Lee, and they presented him in the perfect way, didn't they?
So easy to book Keith Lee. It's the most hands-off thing in the world. It's like, hey, Keith, you do some really cool stuff. Do the cool stuff. Like, it's so simple, and yet his former employers contrived to somehow make a meal of it and have him pretend to be a cat on TV.
They just have no idea what to do with that sort of personality, do they? It doesn't fit into any WWE mold whatsoever, athletically, like in the ring, or just his personality in general. And so to try and get them to put that over on its own merits, I guess, was a big ask.
Yeah. I bet you they're doubly gutted now, aren't they, WWE? Because it's like he's gone to the opposition, AEW. He looks mint. Everyone's buzzing about him. And if he was still with WWE when they came to the UK, as they normally do post-WrestleMania, he could have done a feud with Kurt Zuma. So, you know. Get him back, Keith.
I think Ernest Miller's got dibs on Kurt Zuma for now. What a stupid move. I mean, we said it at the time. It's like, how do you release Keith Lee? How do you do this? How do you do that? And it was fully justified within seconds. Like, really, as soon as the music hit. Yeah. I mean, everyone gets a pop when they do. Chavo got a pop when he debuted in AEW. And no disrespect to Chavo, but he's Chavo. But throughout the course of the match, it was just a totally perfect introduction. Maybe at 37 years old, he doesn't want to do, like, Hurricane Ranas and stuff anymore. Whatever. That's totally fine. That's Keith Lee. I think he's earned the right to choose not to do those things if... he wasn't just holding back on them for this match. Who knows?
But he's already in a bloody ladder match now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And he did the leapfrog
smash
spot.
Cut to him moonsaulting off the top of a ladder or something in a couple of weeks.
But like the thing with this whole situation is like, I think that after almost dying last year, and coming back to TV and being told, hey, you're a cat now, make a growl noise, arr, wear the skirt, wear the singlet, we're going to change your music to something that sucks. I think he has earned the right to present himself in however way he wants. And if he wants to be video game power guy who can yeet guys up to the lights, which he did to Isaiah Cassidy here, I'm all for it. I thought it was a perfect reintroduction.
Think he wins the Face of the Revolution ladder match?
No, I think it's going to be for the TNT title. Going by the way, Samuel Guevara was talking on this week's... Well, not talking. He had the cue cards. He's talking about Andrade, talking about the match. I get the impression that they're going to flip it this year, get rid of the Sonic ring. I mean, Keith Lee would probably mark out for getting a Sonic ring. He loves his video games.
I didn't think of it like this.
Yeah. So I get that. For me, that seems to be the way they're heading. I could be totally wrong. But if that's the case, I've got Wardlow winning it. But Keith Lee's going to do something nutty in it, isn't he? He's going to somehow climb up two ladders at once and do a shooting star press with a dragon. Because he's limitless, mate. He can do anything.
Yeah, we reiterate what you said, though. He was just so nice to work with in WCPW when, you know, he already had an aura around him, not just from his size, but just from, you know, the buzz around him, PWG, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I think he's going to do big things over in AEW.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a shame with WWE. Obviously, they horrendously booked him towards the end, but they started off booking him well. He had, obviously, the moment in Survivor Series. He had that win over Randy Orton. And then, I don't know, was it the old thing, do you reckon, alongside the awful booking, of going away at the wrong time, a la sort of Finn Balor? Oh, you've had to go away as world champion. We'll never do that with you again, sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of the timing because they definitely seemed fully on board with him when they first started this. But I think also just in terms of like his personality, he doesn't cut the sort of gruff, I'm going to get you kind of passionate promos that like Vince McMahon absolutely loves.
Especially from looking at him, you think one way, and in reality, he's a very eloquent gentleman.
Yeah, and kind of a gentle creature as well, like in the way that he talks and things like that. So I genuinely don't think, like, as soon as Vince sees him and he's like, oh, he's massive, let's get him. But then as Vince starts seeing him do promos and things and he isn't the character that Vince would have had in his mind from when he first saw him, I think he probably got turned off from that. And now, yeah, like we say, he's in AEW, he's in a place where they will allow him to be himself and make the most of that character being so different to everybody else out there. let him do crazy, crazy things. And I'm sure, like you say, like he's probably just holding back maybe on some of the bigger things to save them for big moments, which I think is a much better way around of doing it, especially like as you get a bit older and the size that he is. Like, keep those for really special moments, and then that'll make them super pop when he does do them.
And shout out to Sidgwick, who's called this for quite some time, ever since basically announced Isaiah Cassidy as the opponent for the mystery arrival.
Give him a guy he can throw as far as humanly possible.
Sticking with AEW, really enjoyable episode of Dynamite this week, Andy. CM Punk and Jon Moxley becoming best friends in a tag team.
Because why not?
Yeah. Because when you poop yourself in the ring with someone, you're friends for life.
don't forget that bonding experience.
But what did you make? I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this this week. What did you make of the Texas death match for the world title in the main event?
Oh, it was disgustingly great, wasn't it? Like, it was completely repulsive in all the right ways. I think that the feuds leading up to it wasn't great.
Fair.
Yeah, I criticized it quite frequently in my articles. Like, I wasn't feeling the angles. It did at times feel like the world title feud was maybe being shuffled away a little bit out of the spotlight. But I have no real qualms about it now because it seemed like they compensated for that by killing each other. I think it's time to start talking about Hangman Page as like one of the best wrestlers in the world. We come out of like the Danielson matches and the Kenny matches going, oh, of course it was good. Look who he was in there with. Yeah. Like Danielson, one of the greatest of all time. Kenny Omega, even before he's like held together by sellotape at the moment, still amazing, all of this. But like really, Hangman Page is the common factor in all of these brilliant matches that are happening at the moment. I think he was so good here. From little things like the improvised buckshot lariat when he went over
the ref.
Like 99 out of 100 wrestlers do that, and it looks like the fakest, lamest thing you've seen in your life. Like a big elaborate stunt where it's contrived. Hangman Page did it. It seemed absolutely seamless.
He's setup for it as well, like the way it was built into the story of the match. It wasn't just there for the sake of it being there, but like taking the ropes off in the first place to try and eliminate that, and then the barbed wire and throwing it down so the ref specifically picked it up. It's like all of the little moving pieces that went into that as a big popper finish just made it even better.
Yeah, I loved it. I get some people don't like blood or whatever, but it's what AEW does. It's something they've specialized in for a long time, pretty much since John Moxley and Kenny Omega. So it's a hallmark of the company. It's something that I like. It's something I think they do well. Are there times when they overindulge on this kind of stuff? Yeah, definitely. That's a valid conversation. But this wasn't one of them. I loved it, man, honestly. The only thing I loved more on the show, aside from Keith Lee's debut, was best pals, Moxley and Punk against FTR, who are having a killer year themselves.
Yeah, I was a little bit annoyed by that match, but only because I got so taken in by it, I wanted FTR to win. Like they hit that big rig, and I was like, oh, it's over.
Yeah,
like, and then my mind already, you know, in like the 2.5 seconds basically before someone kicks out of a pinfall, my brain had already gone, this is brilliant. What are the like obstacles can MJF put in their path? And oh my god, like he's never going to be able to get this rematch with MJF. Maybe MJF is going to be putting the world title. Oh no, they've kicked out to my I've kicked out of that, and they kicked out the ring bell, so they're winning.
Yeah, they did a really good job, I think, in this match of like one of my least favorite tropes is the all-star team just cruising past the established tag team. But they did a good job of subverting that here by like with the double finisher and double submission stuff. It's like we have to kill both of these guys because one of them's going to interfere. And then the stuff with Tully fannying around.
Yeah, shout out to CM Punk who got sandbagged by Tully.
Yeah, Tully was like, I'm not taking this move, brother. It was awesome. But yeah, like they got all that bollocks involved. So that helped it make sense. What a great time so much of this show was. It ruled. It was good fun.
Still, I'm really looking forward to what happens next week as well with the whole Daniel Bryan Moxley connection, because he's like, oh, you won't team up with me, but you'll team up with this guy.
He's on Rampage tonight, isn't he? He's addressing the, I was about to say, AEW universe.
Don't say that.
God, the AEW audience tonight, and may well lead into something like that next week. So exciting to see what they do next with that. And well, still a little bit annoyed that the Texas Deathmatch got a higher rating than Punk and MJF, but apparently Meltzer just...
Yeah,
we'll never give him a 5-star rating.
He has his opinions, and we are welcome to agree or disagree with
him. Disagree.
Yes, me too. me too, for the record.
For one of the stories me and Andy talked about today regarding AEW and WWE, in fact, surrounds Jade Cargill. Unsurprisingly, Vince McMahon seen her and gone, that, please.
I want me a piece of that.
Yeah. Do you think WWE, we could get to a point, we slightly touched on this on the news this morning, me and Andy. Like, do you think we're getting to the point now where WWE are going to start at least attempting to poach AEW talent? Because there was obviously that bit where AEW launches, no one's going anywhere for like 2 years probably, at a bare minimum. And even after that, it's like, well, have they established anyone who isn't like, you know, diehard AEW anyway? They're not going to tempt away your bloody Kenny Omegas or Jungle Boys or people like that. But do you think we could see down the line WWE stealing some AEW talent perhaps?
I think it has to happen at some point. Like it's a no-brainer. Like they've washed away a huge portion of their talent roster. So there's a bit of space now in WWE, let's say, to hire some new people. And they have to have their eye on people down there. Like obviously Jade Cargill's one where you just see it and you're like, well, she's a Vince McMahon person, isn't she? But it's like, at some point, they've got to poach them. But it just, my biggest thing with all of this generally comes down to how spiteful Vince is. And whether he just won't, just because he's like, well, screw those guys. They're over there with their AEW. They can have their stupid tiny promotion. I'll be over here with my guys for making them in NXT. And they're going to be big and they're going to be
great. Yeah, we get some football players and basketball players. I don't need people who can actually wrestle.
And we do know Vince McMahon loves a good bit of spite. So I could kind of see him holding off for quite a while for that until there's someone that comes available that is an absolute no-brainer. And genuinely don't know who that person would be.
Feels like the most obvious first real switch could well be if, well, the word doesn't get to WWE about maybe issues behind the scenes, let's say. Someone like a Brian Cage.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian Cage is someone who's, I believe, has had tryouts in the past as well. So he's probably someone that they're already available or are aware of, is the word I'm looking for. But yeah, they're definitely going to make plays for people at some point, aren't they? And they should. Like, it's good for the wrestlers because it's going to drive their value up and they're going to be able to negotiate better contracts with wherever they go. Cage seems to me, I mean, physically, look at him, obviously. The thing I wonder about Brian Cage is his main selling point, aside from obviously looking like $1,000,000,000, is that he looks like $1,000,000,000 and he's gigantic and he can do crazy flips and like mad athletic feats. I wonder if he would go the Keith Lee fate, at least on the main roster, where it's like, hey, I don't care about all the cool things you can do. You're big. That means you have to be boring in my company, which is usually how things go. With big guys in WWE. Dijak, T-Bar is another example of this. Outrageous athlete. What's he doing? Flanning around in a mask on Main Event, wrestling Veer, who's still trying to come, by the way. Ridiculous. See a doctor. See a doctor. But yeah, they'll make plays for people. I think Jade's an interesting case. Listening to her like on Talk is Jericho, I get the impression that she has no interest whatsoever. Yeah. She's rich already, basically.
Yeah, it's a bit like, you know, like saying, oh, WWE, I'm sure, would love to sign and will no doubt throw as much money as they possibly can at the likes of Jade and MJF is the other one I would automatically assume they go for.
Yeah.
Alongside, you know, Hangman Page, obviously, and a few others. But it is a bit like saying when AEW started, maybe AEW could sign Charlotte Flair and Roman Reigns. Like, well, maybe just lower your expectations slightly as to who may jump ship between the two companies. But you talked about big men there, Andy. We got the return of Goldberg on SmackDown last week.
What did you say?
That was Goldberg.
Oh, God, right.
He is, I did love, and I haven't got your thoughts on anything, yes, on this, Phil. I did love, I acknowledge you, Roman Reigns, as my next victim. I do like a little swerve in a sentence. It's quite impressive. So he's fighting Reigns at the Elimination Chamber. And we also found out we are getting a women's Elimination Chamber in Saudi Arabia.
Two women's matches in Saudi Arabia.
Andy, the lineup: Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Nikki A.S.H. Calm down, Phil. And a mystery entrant. How do you feel about both of those matches?
To kill Nikki, goddamn ASH.
Well, Nikki already wears a bodysuit, so she's perfectly suited for this match, right?
Can't wait to see her crumpled in that elimination chamber. I hope they bring back the really hard outside bit just for her. God damn it.
Poor Nikki ASH. Watch him. I've totally lost my train of thought.
Goldberg Reigns, what do you reckon?
I mean, Roman's going to beat him in 2 minutes, isn't he? It's going to be fine.
But the right bit of booking that, potentially.
Yeah. Saudi crowds like to see big stars.
They've wanted to do it since Mania last year, obviously.
It's like it was a good intense feud in the build-up to that Mania where it had to be cancelled. And like, I understand the anxieties of Goldberg being on the show. He's Goldberg, and sometimes he beats people he shouldn't. But
him jackhammering large people does not always go well.
Yeah, hopefully Reigns doesn't sandbag him like Windham Rotunda. But yeah, I mean, it'll go 2 minutes. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's okay. Who cares, you know? I'm not going to watch it because it's on this bloody show, but I'm sure it'll be fine.
What do you reckon about the Women's Elimination Chamber then and a potential mystery entrant?
Yeah, I wonder who the mystery entrant is. Could it be The Fiend? It might be The Fiend.
Lily.
It's probably going to be Alexa
Lily
Bliss,
in one of the pods.
Yeah.
I hope it is Lily in one of the pods. And then at some point when the lights are flashing around, it changes to Alexa Bliss.
Ooh. Dressed as Lily.
Obviously.
Skulls what if tea? Alexa Bliss is now The Fiend? There's a lot of wrestlers who could be The Fiend.
There's need to be more fiend.
It's not going to be Alexa Bliss. Come on, she's getting help for it. She's going
to
be okay.
Yeah, this journey back to Raw. Come on, it's very serious.
Who's making it back to Raw first, her or Veer?
Veer just needs to make a quick trip to the doctor, by all accounts.
You know when they do main event, just stick around. because they'll probably do some raw stuff.
Yeah, just don't go home. Stay, keep it back.
I remember it's a good Elimination Chamber. Phil and I remember this from the baffling response online after the Elimination Chamber. It is a good platform to launch Bianca Belair back into the title picture. Yeah. I assume she's winning this.
Yeah, I think she'll win and face Becky for the belt at WrestleMania and then win it. And then that's fine. You've made good on the SummerSlam stuff in theory. Maybe the mystery person. I love mystery opponent stuff. Like, it's always fun. Even on Dynamite this week, where it was like CM Punk and a mystery partner, and it wasn't like average. It was something that happened on the show. Yeah. I don't like impromptu matches, but like, it was an interesting thing to answer later on. It was Moxley, and you're like, hey, it's cool. What if it's someone like Asuka as well, who's like on the verge of being back from injury?
Don't tease me with that.
I was going to say, they used a mystery thumbnail here, and it was very difficult to figure out who it might be. They've probably just done what we do now in the office, which is just put a random celebrity on there. I've had all kinds of people in the thing.
Breaking the fourth wall here, man.
Yeah, Johnny Fingers, of course, was one of them. Who else have we used? Brian May.
Brian May was a good one.
Yeah, no, I'm not letting any more of our trade secrets out there, so someone speak.
Have you got any pet peeves currently with AEW or WWE, aside from the obvious? I get really, really wound up every week on our Dynamite preview and reviews and Rampage preview and reviews, What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, about the fact that Sammy Guevara's got two belts. Really winds me up.
I've been going on about this in the office quite a lot.
It makes no sense. I also said,
so if he loses, he's still got a spare.
Yeah, well, I didn't even mind it necessarily when he had the two belts on his shoulders when Darby Allin came on and was like, well, these.
I think you can get away with that for like a week after you won the two belts.
This week when he showed up and they had on top of each other, it was bloody pointless. But have you got any pet peeves at the moment that are really grinding your gears?
Yeah. Shocked kick-out faces.
Ugh.
Every time someone does one.
That's
that.
Across both companies as well, isn't it?
Every single place where someone goes, oh my God, he kicked out of my snapmare. Anytime that happens, I have a rule that when you do that, I detract half a star from my star rating. So certain wrestlers have had negative star ratings from me this year, is what I'm saying.
Mine isn't exactly a recent gripe. It's just a general gripe in wrestling in general. And it's kind of the opposite of yours. It's people who are about to kick out and just stare at the ref's hand going down. One, two. There it is, three. Yeah. Like, just stop that. You can hear him count. That's why he's counting. And that's why he does it at the same speed. Close your eyes. At least make some kind of mystery behind this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Right, finally, before we move on to this week's hashtag bloody good quiz, a bit of a news story you may have seen. You seen this? Heard about this? Not exactly something I anticipated. I sense that a lot of people within AEW probably said, don't do this. And he said, probably,
we're going to do it anyway.
Tony Khan's running for Congress. I mean, he's not, obviously, he's not. But that was a hell of a rumor going around this week, wasn't it?
What a whirlwind that was. It was
Did you buy it? I was like, no, I can see that happening. He's bonkers.
He's off his nut at the moment, isn't he? I mean, he's got wrestling, he's got Boom, he's got
I can do everything.
He's got the Jacksonville, what are they called? The cat guys. The Jacksonville.
Hey, it's the Super the Zoomers. Bowl this weekend.
The Zoomers. Zoomers. The Jacksonville Zoomers.
Who's your money on this weekend for the Super Bowl?
Kurt Zuma.
Kurt
Zuma. Probably.
My money's on the halftime show.
Oh, my days. Does that look ridiculous, doesn't it? Oh, my God. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Tony Khan running for Congress.
Khan's mad.
Just to clear it up, Kurt Zuma kicking his cat is obviously
yes, we are making light of it, but it was horrendous. And the authorities taking the cats away, that's all good news. He's an idiot. What the bloody hell was he thinking?
You're moron. Anyway, Tony Khan.
Tony Khan running for Congress.
What? Why? 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 How? What? How did this occur? How did this whole thing start? Did someone make a fake filing for it? And then some local newspaper was like, hey, Tony Khan is running for a thing. And then he started just nonstop tweeting that football website that reported it, going, hey, ratio, Steve, or whatever. It's so weird.
He tweeted, I'm going to get this website shut down in
9 days. It was good value.
Preposterous, wasn't it?
But it is one of those things that is utterly ridiculous, and the man does a gazillion things anyway, but it's always that little doubt at the back of your mind that you're like, he could definitely do this. Yeah. He's just about mad enough, and he's probably awake enough to do this.
My favourite thing at the moment, by the way, is whenever TK tweets about Fulham, because obviously Fulham are doing bits in the Championship, if you're unaware, Phil, and he's juggling a lot of things. Like you say, you've got the Jacksonville Jaguars as well. But let's be honest, primarily on social media, as much as football fans are very prominent, I think wrestling fans are more intense, let's say. Yes. So whenever he tweets like, oh, thanks to Alexandra Mitrovic for scoring today, what a great result for the boys, wrestling fans are like, sign Keith Lee. And it's like, pick your moments, guys. Either tweet him directly or wait till he tweets about AEW.
It's like that
Stop
guy replying
to the streams here.
Like that guy replying to a random CM Punk tweet telling off Miller for being so biased. It's like CM Punk, he doesn't care.
Oh dear. Anyway, let us know your thoughts on everything we discussed. Really ran the gamut there of topics for this week on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. But enough of all this. It's now time for a...
It's
short.
It's
that's not it. Long button. Now it's time for a... Bloody good quiz. And this week's quiz is... Too many buttons. I've got two carried away. I've got three pages of it now. This week's quiz is brought to you by... And I think I've already told you this one, Phil, because it made me laugh on Monday.
Oh, you did
Monday,
say this one earlier.
But it's great. This week's review, if you want your name associated with a hashtag bloody good quiz, all you need to do is subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review on there. Just like D Jones 55, who Andy writes, F off, you woke dweebs. 5 stars.
Oh, the
thanks, I guess.
The liberal wrestling media are trying to cancel D Jones.
D Jones 55.
He could have gone 69.
54 men that came before me have not died for me to be put down by you woke idiots.
Do you think he was born in 55? He's still posting comments like that.
God, what was he thinking?
F off woke dweebs.
Hey, at least we got 5 stars. That's what really matters. Yes,
this is it.
And if you
iTunes doesn't read the comments, it just algorithm, goes from the stars.
Algorithm me, daddy.
If you think we're gonna stop being woke, well, we've got some bad news for you, D Jones 55.
We're gonna do it anyway.
Love you, Barry.
Anyway, 10 questions this week, all about Keith Lee. Of course, they're gonna be about no one else. Well, gonna be about JY, but that was only because to fix the botch from. What's a forbidden door again? Oh, bollocks. Have we got anyone from New Japan who can pop over?
Jay White, can you do
weird,
it?
That, wasn't it?
Hey, Jay, I need you.
I need to fix a thing I did on Twitter.
I really want to book you, bro, honestly. What a burial.
Oh, well, okay, Tony, yeah, cool. Well, what point do you want me to come out in front of the crowd? Oh, you won't need to do that.
Just wear
just
your
bring
jacket.
You're only Switchblade Jay White. It's fine. We'll just have you pop up backstage and then reference you a bit. And then you can corner on Rampage if you like.
No, just pop up backstage. Pop up backstage seconds before Keith Lee goes out.
Anyway, 10 questions all about Keith Lee, multiple choice, shout your name, wait for me to come to you. But as always, remember, gents, it's just for fun. Right, question number one. According to Keith Lee himself, which family member got him interested in wrestling? Was it his uncle?
Papa Bear.
His grandmother, his sister, or his cousin?
Phil, why the hell not? His grandmother.
Yay!
Hey! I really hope she was an old woman throwing handbags at people.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. I love it when it's like... an elderly relative's like, gets you into wrestling. Normally I have to explain this to... Although, I suppose NXT 2.0, that makes a lot of sense with that audience. Okay, question number two. Remember, have you seen this? You heard about this? Remember Legacy versus the McMahon family? Remember that? Back in 2009?
Everybody does.
Back then,
he definitely does.
Keith Lee was an extra. He was a security guard for the big brawl, question mark, on Monday Night Raw. You may remember it. They stormed down to the ring and the security went, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then a big fight broke out and Legacy and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so when he was an extra in 2009, who hit him first? Was it Vince McMahon, Shane McMahon, Triple H, or Cody Rhodes?
I was hoping that Manu would be on that one.
I think that might have been the time when they went... Let's keep it a three, shall we?
I'll say, Andy, I'll say it takes a perfect strike to knock a big man down. Therefore, it's Shane McMahon.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Was he even on the list of answers?
Yeah, he was. Okay. Remember, he came out in the clothing that was very of the time. I think I definitely wore this in the sort of mid-noughties. T-shirt on top of a long sleeve shirt.
Oh, yes. Classic.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I listened ripped to punk
Triple
rock.
H, ripped Vince McMahon. Top and a t-shirt from Shane. So your options are Vince, Trips, or Cody. Phil.
Ooh, I will go with one of these things is not like the other, Cody Rhodes.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Vince.
Of course he was.
Vince lays him out, and then Triple H picks him up and chucks him into the barricade.
Good.
And then I couldn't be bothered to watch what happened next. I survived that feud. Right, question number three. Taking you back to the 2020 Royal Rumble. What number... did Keith Lee enter at? Oh, we all remember Brock Lesnar's response.
My word.
Oh, big boy.
Was it? I watched this recently, and I was a bit muddled because of the slew of people that Brock runs through. Was it number 9, number 11, number 13, or number 15?
For some reason, I had 13 in my head before we started. So I'll go with 13.
Yay!
It was number 13. Mm. What could have been, eh?
What could have been?
Oh, that big moment boy. With him and...
Imagine if they could book. It'd be so much
that
easier.
That should be the like subheading to WWE. Yeah. WWE, you know, like, you know, it used to be.
Yeah.
All the different... Imagine if we could book, eh?
It's been a good 20 years now. Come on, guys.
Get it?
Come on, WWE.
Imagine Keith Lee pouncing Brock Lesnar.
It's so easy. It's so easy to book. Oy.
Still was some great moments in that Rumble, though.
It was a really good Rumble.
Yeah, it was really,
really
fun.
Good Rumble.
Especially because at the time, people were like, okay, but you're not doing this for the whole Rumble, though, are you?
The Drew elimination of Brock was really good.
Oh, good.
Just a good stuff. Rumble.
Yeah.
Good Rumble.
But it's a simpler time, let's say, January 2020.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot easier back then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
If only we knew. Right, okay. Let's move on to a key moment in Keith Lee's WWE time. Survivor Series 2019. Mm. Who did Keith Lee eliminate in the Survivor Series match? Mm. Was it Ricochet, Seth Rollins, Shorty G, or Randy
Bill.
Orton?
Ricochet.
No, dear, that's wrong.
I was hoping they played back the WCPW thing because they liked that match so much. So they thought, well, they'd redo it. And
maybe a WCPW question coming. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Seth the Chef.
Yay! Hey.
It was. I was thinking I might trick you with the short person being in there. Vince's sadistic ways. But yes, it was. He only eliminated Seth. Only elimination he scored in that match, which was really enjoyable, except for the Walt bit.
Yeah. Hey man, you want to have 2 minutes in the ring? Okay.
Thankfully, we'd never get that from Gunther.
Gunther's a different animal.
Okay, is that 2-1? Is that right? After four?
I don't know.
Sure.
Okay, question five. Speaking of Keith Lee and Randy Orton, another one of the names you could have picked there. How long did it take Keith Lee to beat Randy Orton at Payback? Was it 5 minutes and 10 seconds, 5 minutes and 40 seconds, 6 minutes and 10 seconds, or 6 minutes and 40 seconds?
5 minutes 40.
No, dear, that's wrong.
6:10.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Bombs. 6:40.
Took him so long.
Yeah. Still though, that was a moment.
No wonder they fired him.
Yeah. We're like, oh, maybe they're gonna do something here, and then.
No.
Hang on, and then.
They can book someone quite well for about a week and a half.
Yeah.
That's the first 9 days are
really
solid.
Hang on, the first. Wait a second. The first what, Andy?
9 days.
There you go. And we always tell ourselves, oh, they won't do it again. They won't do it again. And then WWE say,
hang on.
Nine.
Yay!
Right. Halfway point. 2-1 to Phil. Okay, question six. This will test your knowledge. Remember a while back, I got a bit obsessed with WWE Studios?
Yeah, I've gone
back to that.
Okay, of course you have.
Keith Lee stars in the brilliant Netflix/WWE Studios movie, The Main Event. We all watched The Main Event, right, when it came out?
No, but I will tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, not to put you off, Andy, which WWE superstar isn't in the film?
Is this the one with the little kid that gets wrestling powers? Okay.
Otis, Sheamus, Big E, or Kofi Kingston?
Andy. Why would Otis be in a film?
Look at him. He's hilarious. He'd take his little belly and do a stupid noise. It'd be great.
Get Otis.
He was definitely in it.
No, dear. That's
wrong. He's in it.
He's a little ogre.
Oh, what were the others? Two of the New Day.
Sheamus, Big E, Kofi.
Oh. See, Sheamus looks a bit weird. I could see them putting him in a movie. Kofi.
No, dear. That's wrong.
Big E.
Of course it was.
Why can't you do anything with Big E, WWE? What's wrong with you?
Why didn't you put him in the next Netflix film?
Yeah.
They had that New Day versus The Undertaker thing.
I was going to say, he was in that at least.
Has anyone watched that? Nope. Or played it?
We were going to do a live stream, and then we all went, ah, oh, can't be asked.
Yeah.
I don't know. Taker's kind of got some views I don't really want to be seen to be associated with. So. Yeah, I'm all right, actually. Busy today. Okay, question seven. True or false? So if you get it wrong, the point will go to your opponent. Keith Lee, according to Dave Meltzer, has had a 5-star match. True or false?
True. Phil. Oh, I was going to say false.
Oh, God damn it.
I was going to say false anyway.
Okay, well, I'll do this. See if this works.
Yay! No, dear, that's wrong.
One of you's right, one of you's wrong. It is. Hang on, is there a thing I can play to...
One of the Dijak matches in PWG.
Let me see if I've got like a true, correct.
I forgot Meltzer was a PWG mark, isn't he?
Andy.
Yo.
Hey. You all right?
I.
It was PWG, Dijak.
Yeah, I forgot Meltzer's a PWG mark.
Forgot to say my name, but didn't matter.
My name is now Drew. So that, I think, takes it back to 2-2.
I think I'm leading 70.
With 3 questions left. Oh, I've just remembered this question. Oh, you know, I write a question film and I go, well, that's literally my wage right there. In question form, I've paid for myself today with this question. What, if you know the answer, please don't jump in here. I've worked really hard on this. What was Keith Lee's original ring name, the first name he fought under, okay? Was it Kyle Agony, Kevin Payne, Cade Torment, or Kenneth Ouch?
Phil, I really wanted to be Kenneth Ouch, but I'm going to go with the first one.
Kyle Agony.
No, dear, that's wrong.
It's a Wilborn creation.
Cade Torment is...
Which of these is not a Wilborn creation? Kevin Payne, Cade Torment, or Kenneth Ouch?
Cade.
Please welcome, making his way down to the ring, Kenneth! Ouch! What are you going for, Andy?
Kate Torment is gloriously E-fed, so shout outs to all my E-fed brothers and sisters. I'm going for Kate Torment.
Kate Torment?
No, dear. That's what? Wrong.
Please say it was Kenneth Ouch.
It's not Kenneth Ouch. It was Kevin Payne.
Kevin Payne? I'm Steve Punch.
So, little peel back of the curtain behind the scenes here. Often after we've recorded Wrestle Culture, it's Friday afternoon, wrapping things up. We're still working very hard, bosses. But also, if we have time, after we've finished, obviously, when the clock, off the clock, the Dudley boys like to do this quiz against each other. And they get a bit competitive. I really hope all the points rest on that one.
He's Tony Owie.
Right. So I think that's still 2-2 by my calculations.
Sure.
Two questions to go. Bit of a biased one. I apologise about this, Andy. Question 9. How many views does Keith Lee versus Ricochet in WCPW have
on
YouTube? It's from the World Cup.
Yep.
USA American qualifiers.
Very, very good match.
Does it have 700,000 views, 900,000 views, 1.1 million views, or 1.3 million views?
1.3 million.
Yay!
1 point, apologies there.
That's a very offensive question.
But it'll balance out because the next question I feel like you might have the advantage on, okay?
Oh, okay.
Yes, it is. I rewatched it. I sort of went, check it as the thing. And then I got sucked in by Ricochet being unable to do anything for the first 5 minutes. Keith Lee just going, what's this balance trying to do?
The way he just bounces off him when he tries to shoulder block him is fantastic.
That bit, and there's a bit in a match, it's about, I want to say like 10 minutes in, when he does the same thing that he did to Isaiah Cassidy, basically. Yeah. I literally, it's one of my few like flashbulb memories of working in WCPW, that looking up in Manchester and going, he almost did the fucking lights there. Brilliant match. Yep.
I think I was ringside for that match and just seeing Ricochet fly at my face like, oh no.
That's scarier than when we had like death matches and stuff. Yeah. You're like, oh yeah, chuck glass about, but please don't throw a man at me.
And then the powerbomb at the end, how high Ricochet bounces. Oh. Incredible. Good stuff.
Right, final question. You get this right, Andy. It's all square.
You got a tiebreaker lined up?
No.
Oh.
Just for fun.
Oh. It's just for fun, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter either way. We all go home happy.
All right. I mean, you say you've made your money, but you don't do tiebreakers anymore. So are you really making your money?
Well, I tell you what, because the brilliant Lawrence Tanksley, who often sends me stuff, has sent me some questions about Keith Lee. Unfortunately, I only saw it after I'd written this quiz, but I'll give you one of his questions as a tiebreaker if you get this one right, Andy.
Okay.
Okay.
I won't.
To level it all up. Question 10. We all know Keith Lee is excellent on Twitter. So I've got a tweet of his, and you have to tell me.
I was kind of hoping you'd made like a word cloud of all of his tweets, and we were going to have to guess what the most used word was.
Bequeath.
Stupendous.
So this is the most Keith Lee tweet I could find, right? Okay. And he's thanking a wrestler. I'm going to say the word blank, and you just have to fill in the blank, basically. Okay. A plethora of thanks, blank. Shout, should you ever require me.
What?
Who has he tweeted that at?
Throw up the Keith symbol. Like,
did he tweet that at, Andy? Mick Foley, William Regal, Samoa Joe, or Paul Heyman?
Andy.
I think I know the answer.
It was Mick Foley.
Yay!
We get to use Lawrence's quiz.
I was going to say T-Bar. He wasn't on the list. God damn it.
You guys know how much I all love you at What Culture. If I could, I'd give you 300 stars and all the biscuits in Sweden.
Biscuits in a while.
That's a pound.
Ooh,
in
Swedish cynical. Biscuits, though.
That's a pound.
Can I just say how delightful it is that each of you make such a delightful dynamic to watch and listen to every day. I love the camaraderie that you all enjoy. It's almost like you're brothers.
Oh, wow. I'm glad we're not. But I like these guys a lot.
So he sent me the limitless and sometimes yimitless bloody good quiz.
Oh, hey. It's because they're married.
Right, which one question?
Or congratulations to them on their wedding.
Indeed. Here's the tiebreaker. Just for fun.
Here we go.
It's written here. After Keith Lee's final match at Beyond Wrestling, Miriam can be seen saying what to Keith? Is it A, thank you for putting me over? B, I love you? C, I hate you? Or D, I can't live without you? I think the final match was against her, wasn't it, if I'm not mistaken?
Phil. Yeah. I don't know. I love you seems too easy. So I'm going to go with I can't live without you.
Okay.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Boo, I hope it's I hate you.
I hope it's I hate you. I've not seen the match, but it sounds really good. Is it thank you for putting me over?
No, dear, that's wrong.
It's I hate you.
Excellent.
May of 2018, they were married.
It worked out well. It worked out well. Congratulations. Hell of a week for Big Keith. We need to do another one now, mate.
Yep.
I know, yeah.
What was the date of Miriam and Keith's wedding? Was it February 2nd, February 3rd, February 4th, February 5th? That's the date
today. Phil, 4th.
No, dear, that's wrong.
The 5th.
Oh, no, yay! I did my maths wrong.
Take a seat.
It was the 5th of February. Congratulations, by the way, Satori, from all of us here at What Culture. Lovely stuff. And absolutely none of us bought the photo where they were like, hey, we're on a honeymoon. And I was like, bollocks, you're showing up on Dynamite on Wednesday. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to Keith Lee. Thank you once again to Lawrence.
Jubilations to Keith Lee.
For that.
And salutations.
Salutations indeed. And I should also say, to do this, a massive thank you to DJones55 for that lovely 5-star review. If you want to suggest something short, crap, and wrestling related, you can do so on iTunes. Or if you want to leave us a nice 5-star review, you can do that and have your name associated with a hashtag bloody good quiz. So there you have it. This week's Wrestle Culture in the books. Let me know how you got on the Keith Lee quiz and your thoughts on everything we've discussed on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE, of course. Congratulations to Andy Murray, winner of this week's hashtag bloody good quiz as well. You can follow Andy on Twitter at...
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for Barry.
You can follow Phil Chambers on Twitter at...
Phil My Chambers. And you can follow Adam at...
Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcast from. You've got the SmackDown preview and the Rampage preview to listen to from earlier on today. We'll be back on Monday, of course, reviewing both those shows. And make sure you leave us a nice 5-star review if you want your name associated with a bloody good quiz. But for now, this has been Wrestle Culture. My thanks to Phil, to Andy. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon. Is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Wrestling!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.